Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, the WNBA Finals is now over. We have crowned a new champion, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, of course, as I do, what's next for both teams. Also, Kathy Engelberg actually responds to the statement in her pre-finals press conference, so we'll talk about that as well. So all that and more, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, the finals is now in the books for the WNBA. It was compelling, being that it ended up being a sweep, guys. But there were some compelling storylines that came along the way. So we'll talk about all that. But the Las Vegas Aces sweep the Phoenix Mercury, guys. All four games I watched, exciting basketball, very highly competitive. But in the end, the Aces get the hardware. So we will go through each game and we'll wrap it up from there. So Las Vegas Aces, the 2-seed, guys. Remember, they came roaring into the playoffs with a 16-game win streak. So they're one of the last two standing. And the 4-seed, the Phoenix Mercury, who knocked off the likes of the defending champs, the New York Liberty, and then they would go on to beat the top team in the W throughout the entire season, the Minnesota Lynx. So you figure it's all lined up for them to take out the number 2-seed. Not so fast, my friend, as the great Lee Corso used to say. So with that said, let us get into it. Game one, the first two games played in Vegas, guys. So game one, Vegas gets that win in a squeaker, guys. 89-86. A game where the Phoenix Mercury actually led at halftime, 50-45, guys. But the story here, turnovers. Turnovers is one of the stories here. Phoenix had 12 to the Las Vegas Aces, 5. So that tells the tale for this game here. And then also the bench. The bench came up huge in game one. Dana Evans tied with Asia Wilson in the scoring with 21 points. She drops 5 threes in this game, guys. Wow. Along with 4 steals and 3 assists. So Dana Evans playing highly competitive basketball in this first game. And then Jewel Lloyd, the embattled Jewel Lloyd early in the season, but came into her own in the second half of the season. 18 points, 4 rebounds coming off the bench. And then, of course, you have Aja Wilson with 21 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 blocks, guys. So that's your story for the Aces. And then for the Mercury, Kalia Copper, 21 points. She drops 5 threes in this game, guys, along with 4 rebounds. Satu Sabali, 19 points for her, along with 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And then Alyssa Thomas, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, just an assist short of a triple-double. And she missed two crucial free throws that would have got things close, but they were very crucial misses by Alyssa Thomas. And that may go, well, you can make the argument that kind of haunted her in the series, her missing those. Because if she makes them, you're talking about a whole new series, guys, where they steal a game in game one of the finals. But that wasn't to be. Aces get the victory. So we move on to game two. Game two, still in Vegas, and Vegas takes this kind of handily, 91-78. And again, guys, well, in the first quarter, Phoenix starts out hot, guys. 27-24 is their lead going into the second quarter, but then the Aces come to life, outscoring them 22-10, thus setting the stage for the rest of the game, guys. And in this one, Jackie Young, who had a quiet game one, explodes for 32 points, guys, along with 8 rebounds, and Aja Wilson doing Aja Wilson things, 28 points, 14 rebounds, and 3 assists, guys, for the win. And even so much so, after the game, in talking, talking after the game, Aja kind of got on Jackie Young for her quiet game one, but, you know, it's a trust between those two. So, you know, that's just her teammate kind of needling her, but let her know you got it in you to have these kind of games. So that's how that goes when they were talking to Holly Rowe, of course. And then for the Mercury, again, Kalia Copper leading the way, 23 points, 3 rebounds. Satu Sabali with her 22 points and 9 rebounds. And then Alyssa Thomas, a quiet game. I think it's kind of a byproduct of game one where she missed the free throws, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. So the first two games in Vegas, the Aces take those, setting the stage for game three in the Footprint Center in Phoenix, which I knew it was going to be tough sledding. I've been in that arena. I know the fans there can get crazy, and it galvanizes the team on the floor. So, this game, actually, the Aces were up 76-59 going into that fourth quarter. And then the Mercury come roaring back, guys. And so much so that they ended up tying the game late with a Dawana Bonner jumper. And then with little time left, Aja Wilson gets fed the ball. She goes to her spot, pulls up, and it rattles in, guys. So she hits the game-winning shot, the MVP doing MVP things, and that seals the victory, thus them winning. They did have a shot at it. On the other end, they had about a shade under 2 seconds left, and it was kind of a tip play for Dawana Bonner, and it rattled around, but it did not go in, guys. So the Aces steal one, in Phoenix, 90-88. In this game, Adrian Wilson goes absolutely nuts, posting a career high in points, 34 points in the finals, guys, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, and again, that game-clinching jumper. That, oh, by the way, she hit that over Dawana Bonner and Alyssa Thomas, thus leading people to say she's the only player in basketball history to hit a game-winning shot over a married couple. So take with that what you will. But that was Age's story as far as game three. Jackie Young, 21 points, 9 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. And then Jewel Lloyd coming off that bench, guys, 16 points, including 4 threes that she hit early in that second quarter, guys. So, again, Jewel Lloyd giving them that spark off the bench. And for the Mercury, Dawana Bonner, 25 points, 10 rebounds. Satu Sabali, she left this game in the fourth quarter, guys. She had a collision under the basket where she was going down, and then Kirsten Bell came in and her kind of lower area hits Satu in the head and thus giving her a concussion. So it was a freak play, but Satu Sabali out for the rest of this game and what would end up being the case for game four. She's out with that concussion, guys. Tough break for the Phoenix Mercury. She had 24 points along with 5 rebounds, 3 assists. And then Kalia Copper, kind of quiet game, 17 points. A lot of that came when Satu went down. And then Alyssa Thomas, missing that triple-double, 14 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals for in that game. So now, after 3 games, the Aces up 3-0 with a game-clinching opportunity in game 4. So we go to game 4. Again, in Phoenix, you know it's going to be hostile there. And at halftime, the Aces up big, 54-39. So, again, you set the stage for them to prevail as the game goes on. But the Mercury still got fight in them. They get it close. They get it in the fourth quarter as close as 6. But things begin to unravel. Coach Nate Tibbetts gets ejected, guys. Arguing a call where he got in the ref's face. Didn't touch the ref. Got in the ref's face. Said some, I'll say some spicy language to the referee. She had enough. She throws him out. She doesn't give him the single tech. She absolutely throws him out the game. So, Nate Tibbetts, coach of the Phoenix Mercury, now out for the game as well. So, you're dealing with a deficit there. In comes Christy Tolliver to take over the coaching reins for the Mercury. And again, you know, they got it as close as 6. And then Chelsea Gray, the seasoned veteran, the point guard, if you will, goes and hits 2 crucial 3-point shots, which pretty much set the stage put enough distance between the Aces and the Mercury, and the Aces get the win 97-86. In this game, guys, Asia Wilson, what more can we say about her? 31 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. Absolutely filling up the stat sheet. Jackie Young with 18 points for her. 8 assists, 7 rebounds. So solid game all around. And Chelsea Gray coming up big when the money's on the table. 18 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks for her. Absolutely amazing for the Aces. And then for the Mercury, Kalia Coppa, she knew she had to up the ante as far as scoring goes. 30 points, 6 rebounds. She did foul out late in the fourth quarter, but a valiant effort nonetheless. Alyssa Thomas finally gets her triple-double. 17 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, thus being the only player in WNBA history to have 3 triple-doubles in a WNBA Finals. The other 2 coming as she played with the Connecticut Sun. And, oh, by the way, against the Las Vegas Aces. So there you go. But also for Alyssa Thomas, kind of late in the second quarter, she crashes her elbow on a pick from Jewel Lloyd, and she goes down hard, guys. Thus leaving the game. Whatever they did during halftime, they got her right, and she got back in the game. So there you have that. And then Dawana Bonner with a double-double, 10 points and 10 rebounds for the Mercury. So the Aces get the victory and thus win the whole thing, winning the championship. Asia Wilson, without any debate whatsoever, the finals MVP for her heroics in this series, guys. Absolutely fantastic. And guys, just listen to her accolades, guys. 4 MVPs, 3 Defensive Player of the Year, 3-time champion within past 4 years. What more can you say about this young woman who has not turned 30 yet and has this kind of resume? And of course, you know, the GOAT debates are on fire right now. Of course, talking about her versus a Maya Moore versus a Cynthia Cooper. I always have to add her in the conversation, guys, because she's the first superstar of the WNBA, if you want to be all honest. I understand. I get it. Lisa Leslie came in, then a Rebecca Lobo. Cheryl Swoops did not play that first year. But Cynthia Cooper has to be added in the conversation when you're talking about GOATs. So there you have that. But Asia Wilson has a outstanding resume. To be in the company of players like that, that in itself is a compliment to her game. So there you have that. And of course, you know, her family was there. Bam Adebayo, her boyfriend, you know, no more secrets, guys. It's out there. So he was there at the game, of course. They have a warm embrace, and you can hear, because, you know, these people are so close to them as far as the mic and the camera. You can hear her saying, thank you for believing in me. And there you go. So Bam Adebayo supporting his woman in the WNBA Finals, guys. So, with that said, to the winners go all the accolades. I talked about Asia Wilson. Chelsea Gray, now a four-time champion, guys. Four-time champion and still head and shoulders the best point guard in the game, guys. I don't think there's any debate, but you do see a slowing down a bit of Chelsea Gray. So, you know, she's how much more years she has in those knees, guys? Because remember, you know, she's had several injuries with those knees. But, you know, she trudges through, she fights through, and she came up big in that game four, that's for sure. So, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to think about a heir apparent to Chelsea. But for now, she's on the top of the mountain, guys. Four-time champion, getting one with the LA Sparks and then three with the Aces. So kudos to Chelsea Gray. Jackie Young, I call her the Klay Thompson of this dynasty run by the Aces. The silent assassin, but deadly on the court, guys. Absolute bucket and one of the more consistent players you'll find in the league. Jackie Young, a three-time champion as well. Also, another three-time champion, Kia Stokes. Now, this year she's played less than what she's played in the past, but the time she was called upon, she did her job, and that's to get in there with those long arms and defend, and she did that. But Kia Stokes, now a three-time champion with the Aces. Jewel Lloyd. Now, you heard me talk about her pretty much all season long, guys. She, again, embattled in the first half of the season for the Las Vegas Aces. And then she went, she's the one, guys. She went to Becky Hammon and said, look, you know, I'm not getting it done as a starter. Let me head to the bench. And that move, guys, that move coupled with the 53-point blowout that the Aces sustained to the Minnesota Lynx, that set the stage for the turnaround where you saw them reel off 16 straight wins, guys. So kudos to Jewel Lloyd. Now, that's how you tell a player is a team player. She could have easily sulked. She could have easily said, look, isn't things not working out here? Let me pack my bags and trade me somewhere. No, for the good of the team, she went to the bench. So I give her tremendous credit for that, guys. And thus, setting the stage for the Aces winning this championship. They don't win it without Jewel Lloyd, guys. So kudos to her. And oh, by the way, as a side note, she is now 10-0. She has a 10-0 record, guys, in WNBA Finals. Wow. That's saying something, guys. Because mind you, she's 1-2 already with the Seattle Storm. And now with the Aces. Thus, her becoming a three-time champion, guys. That's what Jewel Lloyd has done in this game. And a future Hall of Famer, nonetheless. The Gold Mamba, three-time WNBA champ. Also, guys, you have other, you know, role players. You have Megan Gustafson. She's now a champion, guys. Cheyenne Parker Titus. Amazing story, guys. She gave birth in July. And then 2 months later, she was back on the court, guys, for these Las Vegas Aces. Didn't play a whole lot in the playoffs, but still a vital piece for this Aces team. Cheyenne Parker Titus now, a WNBA champion. Kirsten Bell, another embattled player, guys. You know I'm hard on her, but she took the starter's role now, starting for the Aces with Jewel Loyd coming off the bench. So she played a role, guys, and thus now she is a three-time WNBA champion with the Las Vegas Aces. And then Aaliyah Nye, the rookie, didn't play much in the playoffs, but she played vital roles throughout the season for this Aces ball club. I think she'll be a vital piece in the future, guys, with her three-point shooting, the way she can get out there and defend as well, something that Becky Hammon truly values in her players. So I think she'll be vital for this team in the future. Aaliyah Nye, just coming into the league, a WNBA champion. And then last but not least, Melissa Smith and Dana Evans. I'll deal with Dana Evans first. Dana Evans traded from the Chicago Sky to the Aces. And guys, things wasn't too rosy on the way out, leaving the Sky for Dana Evans. Kind of got lost in the shuffle there. But she comes to the Aces, has a defined role, guys. And she was critical, especially in these finals, guys. Very critical for the Aces. It had the huge game one. Solid throughout the series, coming off the bench as well, guys. Dana Evans, now a two-time WNBA champ, winning one with the Chicago Sky, where she's a bench player there as well. Now a two-time WNBA champion. And then Nelissa Smith. I tell you what, last year with the Indiana Fever, kind of got lost in the shuffle with the huge specter of a Caitlin Clark there. It seemed like her and Aaliyah Boston couldn't coexist in the same universe. So she gets traded to the Dallas Wings, by the way, guys. Thus, she ends up with the worst team in the league when the records, when all said and done with the records. But, and even in Dallas, she was there with her boo thing, Dejanay Carrington. I think the video that they made where they were, who they made that video with? Was it with the Stud Buds? Anyhow, I think that video there kind of put the handwriting on the wall that she wasn't long for that team. Thus, she gets traded to the Aces. And I tell you what, guys, this trade too, along with Jewel Loyd heading to the bench, I think this turned their season around as well. Melissa Smith, I think people forget she was a top three pick in the WNBA draft. This coming out of Baylor, she was a talent, guys. So she had this in her. She goes to the Aces, and she's a solid contributor, guys. She is. So, and, you know, this where it comes to Asia Wilson and her leadership, where she's able to pull the best out of Melissa Smith. And she's had her moments in the playoffs. She had a crucial, huge game against her old team, the Indiana Fever. But Melissa Smith gets her first championship. And it wasn't as a bit player either, guys. She was a solid contributor to this ball club. So Nelissa Smith, a WNBA champion, and last but not least, the coach, Becky Hammon. What more can you say about Becky Hammon? 4 seasons of coaching, 3 championships. She's only lost 1 playoff series in her 4 years with the Aces, guys. She has a 28-9 record in the playoffs, winning close to 76% of her games as a playoff coach. Becky Hammon, again, her making that move, putting Jewel Lloyd on the bench, also bringing in a Nelissa Smith to start next to Aja Wilson, I think that turned their season all the way around, guys. So Becky Hammon, the best coach in the W. I don't think there's any debate whatsoever. And I saw it being said early in the season, oh, Becky should go. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And that's where we are now. When a Sandy Brondello cannot get her contract renewed, that's the kind of world we live in, guys. That's insanity. So imagine if, I can't even imagine, the Aces higher-ups, and big shout-out to owner Mark Davis, who has a franchise that's worth now, he bought it at $2 million, now it's worth $310 million. Talk about a bang for your buck. Wow. And then a person who really doesn't get credit, Nikki Vargas, their president, working behind the scenes, bringing in the players, trading this one, that one. She doesn't get a lot of credit, but Nikki Vargas, give her her due, guys, as one of the movers and shakers in the front office who gets it done, bringing in the talent needed to be a champion. So big shout out to her. So with that said, that's it for the finals in a nutshell, guys. What's next for the Aces? Great organization, great coaching. Now with this CBA, from what I'm told, everyone's a free agent, guys. Everyone's free now except for 2 players, Lexi Brown and then Kalani Brown. So I think the Aces will be fine. I think those a lot of their players return. You may add a piece here or there, but I think I don't think Chelsea Gray is walking away from the game just yet. So I think a lot of those players return, and it's just a matter of the pieces they add along the way. I think they bring it back, Nelissa Smith. I think they bring her back. Why not? I think a Jewel Lloyd, I think she probably comes back as well. I think she enjoyed playing on a team with Aja Wilson. You know, they have their history, if you will, as far as that one moment during the NBA celebrity game where they kind of cross paths there. Funny clip if you can find it. But I think she comes back. And, yeah, I think the Aces are fine. As far as the Mercury go, I say run it back with those 3. Run it back with Alyssa Thomas. Run it back with Kalia Copper, Satu Sabali. You add some pieces around. I think they'll be fine. I think if they come back, they add a piece here or there, I think they'll be back in contention when all is said and done. So, so it should be a compelling offseason for both teams. But kudos to the Aces for winning their 3rd championship in 4 seasons. And kudos to Phoenix Mercury for getting farther than a lot of people thought they would. And you got to give them credit for that. So there you go. All right, guys. So that is it for the WNBA Finals. A few other items before we head out. Speaking of the collective bargaining agreement, they're still trying to hammer things out. And then, so we'll see what happens there. They're throwing around numbers and all those things, but we'll keep a close eye out on that. Now, as far as Kathy Engelberg, embattled because of the fee statement, and then she had a pre-finals press conference where she made her statement, and guys, to me, it sounded tone deaf. It really did. I don't think she did herself any favors with that statement whatsoever, guys. So much so, you've had folks come out speaking out against what she had to say. In fact, I will play for you some sound that I think speaks to what the tone deaf nature of what she said. So this is Sarah Kustak. Sarah, she covers the WNBA. She covers the NBA as well for the Brooklyn Nets, but she covers the WNBA as well. One of the excellent analysts of the game, guys. Here's what she had to say in terms of, let me play you some Kathy Engelberg sound. This is her first comments about the fee statement. Listen. Hang on a second.
Okay. You should be on your knees thanking your lucky stars for the rights deal that I got. There's a lot of inaccuracy out there through social media and all this reporting. And so I think what's most helpful is to focus on, I have been in touch with Nafisa, we've exchanged texts, we're talking next week. So I think obviously a lot of reporting, a lot of inaccuracy about what I said or what I didn't say. And I will tell you, I highly respect the players. There's a lot of emotion and passion going on right now because we're in collective bargaining, we're in the WNBA finals. And so I'll leave it there. I mean, I'm just obviously disheartened. You know, I'm a human too. I have a family. I have two kids who are devastated by these comments. And so all I'll say is just, you know, it's obviously been a tough week. And I just think there's a lot of inaccuracy.
You in fact say that all players should be.
So that was Malika Andrews asking her about the statement, you know, the one I blew up about her saying that the players should be on their hands and knees, thankful for the media deal that she got them. So there's that. And then what she said about her expecting to remain in her position. Listen to this.
You're still the right voice and expect to continue to be commissioner beyond this CBA.
I certainly, that's another inaccurate statement out there that everybody reads and thinks clickbait on. Obviously, I've never been a quitter. I'm entering my 40th year, actually this month, in business. Never been a quitter, never shied away from tough situations. I think leadership, the cream always rises to the top, and I've always been someone who believes in the fact that we have, if there's things we need to fix, we're going to fix them. If there are things the players have a perspective on that they don't like that we're doing or I'm doing, we'll fix them, Malika. So I think there's a point in time when obviously there's a lot of, and I said, emotion, passion, whatever you want to call it, about what's going on right now. The league has grown enormously.
enormously over the last 5 years. It's incredible what these players have done day in and day out, and they deserve all the credit. But as I said, my staff and the staff of the teams and the owners in this league have made tons of investments to get to where we are today. And so I'm not going to shy away. I'm the commissioner of this league, the leader of this league. I think we've accomplished a lot, but we have a lot more hard work to do. There's so many more things we can do together, and I hope that the players see that. And I'm certainly, looking forward to meeting with them in the offseason as we get to the next level, especially with so many great things that are going to happen in the offseason.
So do you feel that you're still the right?
So that was another Malika Andrews question, asking her, does she feel she's the right commissioner for what lies ahead for the WNBA? Of course, she's going to say the right things. Of course she is. She's not going to quit, all those sort of things. I think she was kind of dismissive about the feelings about her. I think she was very dismissive in that regard. And, you know, she comes from a business mindset, so that doesn't leave a lot of room for feelings and for, you know, cozying up to the players and so forth. She basically works for the owners, guys, so she's going to come at it from that perspective. But you still have to have a modicum of respect for the product on the floor and the players. You have to have that. So much so. And I called it, guys. I called it on this show. She has to go out there and present one of those teams a championship. And the boos rained down on her. In Phoenix, by the way. It's not like as if it was in Vegas. This happened in Phoenix. And the crowd was absolutely not pleased with her whatsoever. So there is that. Then you have the statement about Caitlin Clark. So we'll look at that. Well, we'll listen to that. Hold on.
Say that Caitlin Clark should be grateful she makes $16 million off the court, because without the platform that the WNBA gives her, she wouldn't make anything. And do you actually feel that way, that without this platform, players like Caitlin Clark wouldn't be making what they do off the court?
Yeah, obviously, I did not make those comments. Caitlin has been a transformational player in this league. She's been a great representative of the game. She's brought in tens of millions of new fans to the game. Proud of what she's put on the court. Unfortunately, the injuries held her back from the season this year. But again, I'm not going to get into every point, counterpoint. It's not productive here. We're here to celebrate the WNBA Finals. I think what Indiana just did was amazing with all the injuries they had and the everything they faced this year, bringing that to a Game 5 in overtime. But yeah, as I said, there's a lot of inaccuracies reported out there, and I certainly did not say that.
Did you in fact say that
So that's her denying what she said about Caitlin Clark. Which is the only statement she denies. Everything else, she pretty much had no vehement denial of, except for the Caitlin remarks. Because she knows, I think she knows in her mind, the Caitlin fandom will go absolutely nuts if they knew she said that about their dear player. So there you go. Okay, so reaction now. Again, Sarah Kusoff, this is her reaction to what was said. Hang on.
Monumental inflection point for the league, and maybe one of the most important moments that the WNBA has seen to this point, because there is a crossroads right now. And let's first start with Nafisa Collier. She's not only the vice president of the Players Association, a superstar in this league, also one of the most respected players, measured individuals. So she chose every single one of her words, her statements, her comments carefully, and she did not miss. Given the fact that she was backed up by pretty much every single player in the league, coaches in the league, and there's a variety of points we saw her hit on, but I think most importantly, note the fact that she said they met in February. We're sitting here in October. So she took that time to understand and wanting to see the changes that would happen. This has been a time of monumental growth for the WNBA, but that is also on the backs of the players as well. So whether it's revenue sharing, whether it's the officiating, whether it's the care and the caretaking of these players, it's just about the human element as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been the missing component of these talks. And to the end of, you said, of Kathy Engelbert, not acknowledging some of those comments or saying that they were wrong. I think that's where a lot has stalled out, because Nafisa felt like that was her saying that she was lying or telling things that are untrue. And that's where I think at this point, all of us are waiting to see just what direction this will go. This is a...
So that was Sarah's comments on what the commissioner had to say in that press conference. I agree wholeheartedly with Sarah here. I think, yeah, and she hit on a key point. The human element is missing in these conversations here. And that's a problem. That's a problem, guys. I don't care how you slice it. That's not good when you don't see these players here in their humanity as they try to negotiate this CBA. So that's an issue, guys. And then the great Lisa Leslie had, yes. She had a reaction, and I will play for you what she had to say. Lisa Leslie, a pioneer of this game, well-respected, well-beloved amongst players and anyone associated with the W. Here is her comments. Take a listen to this.
They don't have those types of relationships where you could call an Angel Reese and say, hey, let me talk to you and help you through this moment. Let me help you. Let me fight for you. Let me step in and say, hey, Chicago, what you're doing, that's not right. That's not how you should treat our player. She should not be suspended because she said something in the media. Like, getting ahead of those things where you have a player and a person who's in office that's protecting these women. Although you may say, hey, yeah, even though we're in negotiation right now, the main thing is still to protect the house. But at the end of the day, protect the players, hear the players, and they should have a safe place where they can communicate that and it not be social media. And that's another reason why you know you're failing, because the players don't feel like they have your ear. So they're using social media to vent and to share what they're unhappy about. No, we didn't do that back in the day because we didn't have social media, but we had newspapers. We could have gone to the papers about things. But you know what? We had a Renee Brown. We had a person who'd come, who'd fly to us, who'd sit us down, who'd talk, who'd call us and say, hey, how can we help fix this? How can we work on this? Okay, we're here, you guys. Let us have a meeting. We have a private meeting. Mm-hmm. Guess where we are? We're in a place where loyalty and trust has been lost. And so what happens? All information is in the streets right now. It's in the streets. The WNBA right now, they don't have...
Outstanding statement by Lisa Leslie. And that's where I, again, come back to the human element. And the Angel Reese thing, she's right. How did y'all let it get to a point where you suspend her for half a game, mind you? It just ended up messy. So, yeah, and loyalty and trust is now on the brink in this situation between your commissioner and the players. Not good at all. And then another statement she makes about the officiating problem. Before we get to that, here's her basic reaction to Kathy's reaction to Fee's statement. Okay.
I thought it was a missed opportunity to take some ownership of making a mistake. Hey, I didn't say the right things, and I really regret that, but that's not where my heart is. And I just felt like she had an opportunity to do that, but instead it felt like she almost like played in our face a little bit more, like, there's a lot of information out there. that, you know, it's just not right. And then you take the route of like, because I'm a mother and I have kids. And I'm like, yes, we get it. And as women, that's why those words are so hurtful, because you almost like pull the suits move on. It's like, you should be on your hands and knees thanking me that I've gotten you all these deals, which is such a slap in the face type statement, especially coming from a woman in a woman's league. I thought it was a
Thank you, Lisa Leslie. And that's why I exploded about her saying that, guys. That whole statement, you should be on your hands and knees. That's what I expect a male commissioner of a women's league, or even a male commissioner of a men's league, to say. Not a woman saying that to a woman. That's crazy to me. So, Lisa, you're right. You're right. For that to come out of her mouth is insane to me. So, yeah. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with her, to be honest with you. Does she come out on the other side? And then you have Adam Silver. He basically said that there's too much emotion on both sides right now as far as the CBA goes and getting that accomplished. Adam, you have a PR mess going on in the WNBA, and you need to fix that. You need to fix that. Is it kicking Kathy to the curb and bringing somebody in who can appeal to both the owners and the players? Perhaps so, but this is a mess, guys. This, again, and I said in the last episode, this is a PR mess that needs to be cleaned up. And Adam, you're on the clock to do that. If, you know, you got to push her aside, you got to push her aside. But somebody has to come in a fresh face and clean up this mess, because you got a product that's on the rise and you don't want to mess it up. Bring somebody in with good business acumen. That's fine and good. Of course, that's great. But it's got to be somebody who can appeal to both the owners and still be able to reach out and touch the players. So that's where I'm at with that. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be exciting next couple of weeks to see if they could come to the bargaining table and hammer something out. I'm not optimistic, guys. I'll be honest with you. I'm not optimistic it'll happen, but we'll see what happens. All right, guys. So that is it for this episode. I thank you for listening. All things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find all the clips, all the full episodes. Guys, episode 300 is on the way this Monday, guys. This Monday. I'm going to do it live. I'm hoping to get some guests lined up. I'm reaching out to some folks to get them on. And then I want to play also a few of my favorite rants for you guys. Well, your favorite rants that I hear about. So we'll play a couple of those on the show as well. I thank you for listening as always, guys. And also podcast platforms. I'm on all those. Social media, TikTok, some Facebook, Instagram, some Blue Sky. That's really about it. Support, guys. On my website, a donate page, Buy Me a Coffee, PayPal, and Spotify donate. And then my email address, allthingsbasketballgd@outlook.com. That is the website. Cash App, $GD, that's sports due. Again, Cash App, $GD, that's sports due. I thank you for listening as always, guys, and we'll talk soon. Take care.